July 2, 2021, it's the Watch for Peter Show. Watt for Pedro. Happy Friday. Start off the show with John Coltrane doing the Iris. And then Birdsong from How I Quit Crack. And Brother Matt on the Love Grotto. Pleasure Point coming out of Quentin Quarantino mode. But I'm not man alone because of the wonders of those Estonian software engineers with their scap invention. I have Brother Chris with me. Welcome aboard. Chris Cohn. Right. Did I pronounce that right?
Chris Cones.
Okay, Chris Cones. Yeah. Yep. And we got to thank the Brutal Sound Effects crew for the connect. Brother Chris, please bring your... I want to learn about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Probably just the radio in the car, like, on the way to, like, you know, somewhere driving around Austin with my folks. And probably, like, you know, 70s. It was... Shake Your Booty, I think.
Oh.
I think it's the original, you know.
Was that Casey and the Sunshine Band?
I don't know offhand. I just remember, like, I didn't get the lyrics. That was the only lyrics I got, and then I, like, wrote my own. So.
Okay, but, yeah. So this pad in Austin, did it have musical instruments in it?
No, not really. Not in Austin. It was my dad was an anchorman at the time, so he had like reel to reel and some recording stuff. But I was pretty tiny, so I didn't really mess with that stuff, other than to like probably break it.
Okay. Can I ask you about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, or shit like that?
Yeah, I moved down to the Rio Grande Valley eventually, and like probably later 70s and. And when I got to junior high, yeah, I started doing, well, first I tried out sax and, for like a few lessons in the summer. And then I got into, most of my friends were in the drum corps. So I got on snare and, but I think first probably like marching, I was doing cymbals and stuff like that.
Joe, hold on.
Go.
Okay, go ahead. Some fucking, what do you call those robocall bastard sons of bitches? Just hung up on their ass. I don't even know why I talked. So I interrupted, the call interrupted. So you got on the snare. So you learned traditional grip, right? Because you're slinging it on the side?
No, I mean, we had like the straight on kind of like shoulder, they were hard shell.
Oh, yeah.
Hooks and everything, just straight on.
Was this near El Paso?
No, this is Rio Grande Valley down in Weslaco.
Sure. When I'm thinking Rio Grande, I mean, you can see it from El Paso, but that's a long fucking river.
Oh, yeah, it goes all the way up to Colorado.
Yeah, you can see Juarez from Paso across it, yeah. Okay,
right.
So, what about your drum thing? Did you dig it?
I loved playing that. I mean, I learned, you know, like, got to play different, never got to march with the tries, but, you know, that was kind of a big thing was the tri-toms, but we
those are bitching.
We'd like kind of trade off like seasonally, you know, it'd be like the football season marching stuff, and then there'd be like more of an orchestra thing, and so I got to play a little bit of timpani and some bells and the big just giant bass drum and
sure
stuff like that.
Not just marching band. Were you in like the other kind of bands too, like what, like orchestra or whatever the fuck?
Yeah, just a little bit in junior high. Like I'm saying, like by the time high school rolled around, yeah. I didn't really want to go to that many football games.
Yeah,
they're pretty intense.
That shit.
They're like 5A, some kind of football superpower. I don't want to go to all that. So, but my you know, like my stepbrother had a drum kit at home and.
So
I kind of hopped on at home, like, because I thought his high school cover band, he's older than me, I thought they invented Iron Man. I didn't know yet.
The Black Sabbath song, right?
Yeah.
We thought that they, Ozzy, at the beginning, they're sang into a fan.
Yeah.
What a lick, man. And the drums in that are fucking bitching. They're almost jazz. I mean, I just love Bill Ward and those early records. So this is a trap kit. Now you're not just playing parts. You're playing the whole enchilada.
Yeah. I mean, we had a trap at the junior high, too, and we were all trying to learn, like, you know, like Brass Monkey or something at the time. Or, you know, like some, you know, some guys are trying Metallica, you know, advanced stuff for me, but you know, like
lead
yeah, kick I got home.
Lead, what do you call it? Lead double kick drum.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you end up owning that stepbrother kit?
No, I ended up moving to California in like 10th grade, I guess. And so I left that behind. I moved out there with my dad but I started another band in high school and
you got a kit.
Yeah, I was more into guitar in the later part of high school. So I was a guitarist
Now how'd you get on the guitar? How'd that happen?
I don't think it's
a bad thing. Let me say first, if you can play drums, you can play fucking anything. I think you shouldn't be able to graduate school unless you know drums. I wish every motherfucker on the planet knew drums.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, definitely. It's
And you have to visit other countries. Those two things. You'll have to learn drums and visit other places.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Okay.
Sounds great.
If you make me dictator, those are my only two rules.
All right.
For high school people. No, only two rules, period. So what was your first trap? I mean, how did you get on the guitar? Forget the drums.
I went from the Valley, the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, I had a J.C. Penney Stratocaster ripoff or something, you know, and I brought that with me.
How did you get it? Was it a gift, or did you go and buy it?
It was probably a gift, I think.
You know what I forgot to ask you? What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think my favorite one out of the batch, because I probably did like the 12, you know, records at a time for a penny off the Columbia thing, but it was Herbie Hancock's Rocket. Future Shock.
I remember.
Yeah.
Wild-ass video for it, too, with all the machines and shit.
Yes.
What was the first gig you saw, Chris?
It's Houston. I don't remember the exact year, but my dad took me to see the Jackson's Victory.
Oh, okay. Tour. Yeah. And, okay, so you get this back to California, you know, the guitar thing. You get this rip-off J.C. Penney thing. You probably got an amp, too, right?
Yeah, it was just like some kind of 9-volt, like, rock bug type of thing to start, but eventually, like, I got up to, I went and found a real guitar, and the one I, you know, worked for, and I looked for a while, like, I shopped around for a while, and, you know, went up to Hollywood, even checking out Guitar Center and all that. Like,
Sunset Boulevard.
Ibanez crap and all
Pedro,
that.
Pedro, you know, we call it the Shithard Center.
The what?
The Shithard Center.
Shithard Center.
It's like now, like, a Ward of the Bane, you know, they're like billions in debt, but they still move the most shit. Well, maybe things are different now with online. But you were saying something about you joining a band and being the guitar man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a cover band to start, and it was mostly like just my, you know, like my classmates like my age or whatever. Like, we're like, I mean, I think it was even like probably a Bible study group or something at first, and then like people dropped out. I was going to that for a little bit, and I started saying something about, you know, aliens and Ezekiel or something. I think they like fell off, you know, but whatever, you know.
It happens. Okay.
Yeah.
Did this band ever do any gigs, or was it just practice band?
We probably played like school lunch. You know, nothing.
No,
nothing
big.
But it grew into
Your first gig is an important gig. Did you do your first gig with these cats?
You know, I honestly, I don't remember the gigs with the first incarnation of the band. It was but it was probably like house party or school lunch or something like that. Sure. And I just don't remember, because we had like kind of some of the same, like the bass player and the drummer stuck around, and the guitarist and the vocalist left, and we got some new guys and started, I think we played it like, ended up playing it like two, we played up in Hollywood a little bit. We played like two shows at the Anti-Club.
One
at the Whiskey.
And one at the Whiskey on Sunset. And what was the name of this band?
That was Arcane Lighthouse.
Arcane Lighthouse. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I want to play Counter Lizard Posture.
Okay.
Okay. Pedro Show, that chunk of music started with another How I Quit Crack number, Counter Lizard Posture. And it, only an excerpt. You could have gave us a whole enchilada, unless, what, it's a day and a half long? Or what?
Well, it's a live set, basically. It's an edit from a show at Trip Charlie's here in Austin.
Okay.
And
okay. And then we brand new from DK. This ain't Dead Kennedys, people. It's a... That's a cat overseas, and with Clarity, brand new. Al Margolis, Al Oct Voice, then, the Rabmatan Proj with System 17 Parallel Systems, Derek Rogers, Donna Savoy Jr., Phil Todd, Andreas Brandel, Mike Barrett, and Eric Hardiman was a composition of that system. And then Bombs Prennan, Poetic Sequence. And finally, La Flange du Mal with Weather War. La Flange, yeah, du Mal. Okay, so what happens after Arcane Lighthouse?
We did some, like I said, like Battle of the Bands or whatever. I actually went to, there was this other band in my high school. I think they're called Heavens to Betsy. And they're like a little more like, snakeskin boots type of band, you know, down with a little bit half in that hair thing up there in Hollywood.
Right, butt rock.
But it was, they had a really good drummer, really good bassist, and they were like a rhythm section that had played together since fourth grade or something.
Wow.
And so that guy hit me up. It was Taylor Hawkins.
Whoa.
He hit me up.
That guy can play some drums.
Yeah, he's
Orange
drummer.
County, though, right? He told me once he was from OC, I think.
Yeah, down in Laguna. That's where I went to high school. Like, I finished high school there.
Wow, you drove all... Because there's a shit hard center in OC.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But maybe it was newer at that time. Maybe you had to drive all the way to... Oh, you didn't go to the Hollywood one. You went to the OC one.
No, I don't remember one in OC at the time, but yeah, I definitely went to the Hollywood.
Well, the neat thing
stores.
About the Hollywood one was there were stores around it that, like Voltage, that had some bitchin' old guitars and shit.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Ethan James. I wish.
Oh, okay.
I wish I'd been there.
Okay. Well, there were some neat stores that had some, I mean, they were so expensive and shit, but you could, like, look at them and shit.
Yeah.
The old basses and... Ethan James lived above the... Remember the Mesa Boogie place was on the corner? The guy who mixed Double Nickels on the Dime. Okay, so what's it... Is this still called Arcane Lighthouse when you get this rhythm section?
No, we I don't remember that we had a name for ourselves. This kind of happened as I was, just graduating, kind of. So we got into we just kind of did covers for the summer. And it was, I think... We did Search and Destroy, like Suffragette City, kind of stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to cover a song, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I don't know, I bounced around a little bit, up to Northern California and back out to north of Austin. And, so I ended up playing with them. I mean, during that summer, we played a few house parties or whatever, but never any, like, big gigs or anything. And
can I ask you if you were writing any of your own material? Because you said this band kind of did covers, but on your own, like, Man Alone, were you writing your own stuff?
Well, the Arcane thing, yeah, we started off, I think it's by the time we had that name, we were writing our own stuff, yeah, definitely. And
because you said your pop had a tape recorder thing, so... Maybe by this time you started getting into recording yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always had I started tape stuff pretty young, like always recording off the radio and do a pause button edit type of collage stuff.
Okay, so you're using the recorder like a fucking instrument, right?
Oh, hell yeah, like pushing the buttons halfway down and speeding it up, all that just abuse, you know.
Well, you got to bring that in because I hear some of that in your newer not newer, but contemporary stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's trippy. Like, you went, like me and D. Boone, you know, 70s, everybody learned songs off the records, wrote their own stuff. But at the same time, you're also experimental. Wow. Like, kind of parallel universes. So where how long did you play with Taylor?
Like I said, I kind of bounced. I bounced around, so like we had that summer together, and then like I think I was back up in Northern California going to school or something, and they called me and they're like, "We found this vocalist. He's a musical genius." And it was Taylor and Wano. Like, I think Wano sings for Yes now or something. they called me and, you know, they were fun to play with. And so for sure. So I went down and checked out the vocalist, skipped my pre-calc or whatever. checked it out. And we played at least a couple parties, I think. I think that was one occasion, I went back down and I came back up and I probably ended up, wrecking my car and just kind of staying with my pop for a little while in Hollywood. I visited Taylor when he was in Redondo. So then we jammed a little bit around there and we went and, played with some other kids down in San Diego and,
Redondo, you were close to Hermosa and that's, home of Black Flag.
Right. Yeah.
Were you aware of stuff like that?
Not as much. No, I mean, we Taylor and I were like big James heads and stuff like that. I was more into, I remember like, I think in high school I was, I definitely caught y'all once like up at, Palomino or something. Yeah. I go see like, Primus and strong bass. I was interested in all that kind of like bands that were, had like a strong bass player.
Did you ever try
playing the bass?
Yeah.
I've never done it live, I don't think, but, I definitely like to mess around with it at home.
What you got?
We just kind of have this, it's like Ibanez or something, kind of knockoff, two pickup dealy.
Well, I'm a little interested. I'm a little biased. I'm a little prejudiced.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry about that. Thank you for indulging me on that. So, what about your own band? When did you start your own the first Chris Cones band?
it was a while after because I was going to school and I kind of got I'd already started really getting into sort of no input type of experimentation with guitar effects and all that.
Yeah.
Because I pretty much lived in a garage in high school and could just, be fairly loud. I was starting to get into, noise loops, just plugging stuff into itself and seeing what it does and
kind of one-man band.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely when the noise experimentation started. It was back then because I'd already, I know I've seen some Japanese noise cat be like, taking a cue from like Pink Floyd and Hendrix, and I'm definitely into that stuff, but I was also into like Sonic Youth and Buttholes and trying to like mess with just not just like the microphone kind of guitar feedback, but like the resonant stuff, and then just seeing what different stereo effects would do if you split lines out and feed them back in and
overtones and nose and trippy. Okay. So, I'm going to ask you, it seems like your basic philosophy, music is music. You know what I mean? Not so much genre, right? Everything goes. You can rock and roll it. You can laboratory it.
Sure. Yeah, I love for that. Sure. I like a lot of a wide variety. So, and I like to be able to, I want to be able to, I'm not super into, programming or whatever, but I do like I'm messing around now with like samples and got a new electronic kit or whatever, but
no, we're going to get more into that, but we're at the end of the first hour now. July 2, 2021 Dish Wop Pedro Show, special guest Chris Cones. Hold tight for hour 2. July 2, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wop for Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
evening draws in, draws us all in. Let's work on something together. When you go, we'll carry on. The place won't be the same. But then again, it never was. How profound.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Earwicker and the Mind Control Matrix. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that with Bereavement. Nearby Sydney man Lucas Abella with Foodie. Brand new. Oh, well, back in March he dropped this. I love his stuff, man. Tim Wholehouse from England after that with Gainesville City Limits. Of course, Gainesville's hot topic in England, people. And then I think Tom Petty was Go Gators, right? He wouldn't play there until like... And Pat Kane after that backup. He's got a brand new record that's fucking bitching. Love Pat Kane. Half of Model Home. Napa, he's a cool cat too. He had a solo record a few months ago. Future Blondes after that with Your Eyes, My World. So tell me about some of these projects, like Quick Crack and La Flange du Mal and Ear Wicker and Future Blondes.
It's a scramble there. I'd say about the Future Blondes, that's kind of a correspondence recording that I did like shortly after moving to Austin, back to Austin in 2009, 2010. And the vocalist on that is, it's actually kind of a correspondence thing, I think. It's Bliss Blood from the Pain Teens.
Oh, so like Trading Files. The usual. Like Trading Files,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the way Domico's likes to do it. We're all spread out. He's got different crews on different on the coasts that he plays with, and a Texas crew too. And we're kind of Texas, you know, for that. But that's just one I did some knobs for, like, you know, basically some. He calls it lasers, you know. But I have this resonant filter, dual resonant filter called a frost wave, and just kind of, I like to fly blind, just kind of like fade up the volume on this thing. And
pick, he's in that project, he's the Dom's the shot caller.
Yeah, he's actually the drummer for this Houston band called Rusted Shut, and but he has a, which is, you know, more rocking, and Future Blondes is kind of a more like dark ambient industrial.
Yeah, but like we were saying last hour, music's music, so that's cool. It's okay. The fucking Berlin Wall genre shit. Fuck that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And Earwicker?
That's an early crew. I started about 98, 99. And it's actually me and Chris Rolls from La Flange du Mal. We were the first two. But I had a project called Terra Moto with my friend Josh Wilson. And... So we're just kind of studio for a while, and then Terra Moto was just definitely just studio. But Earwicker started playing out at a place called the Clit Stop on Tahama Alley in San Francisco. Is started doing like those brutal sound effects gigs, and it was. But
you know, I had Jake Rodriguez on the show, and he called that scene costume noise.
Yeah.
Would you
agree? We didn't always do that. we weren't so. I mean, maybe a little bit here and there. I mean, La Flange, we wore frog masks and stuff. Okay. But
when he said that, I had never heard. You know, if you got a funny name like that, okay, that can be a genre.
Right. Yeah.
But all the other ones, fuck them. But costume noise, I couldn't believe. Well, it was more than a genre. It was a scene, and you know. That means human beings, you know, people, and so I can kind of get into that. But the labels on music, I just can't stand. And then How I Quit Crack.
It's actually my wife Tina Forbes. She started that project before we met in Houston, and then we played.
I didn't mean to laugh, you know, but because of the name of the prize, she started.
Oh yeah, no, it
sounded
true
like
story,
she quit.
Yeah, she quit her. Dang it.
But, it's a great name, you know. There's a lot of images come to mind.
Right. Yeah, I think the general gist is that it's kind of a medicinal or therapeutic, you know.
So it's a personal project between you and your wife. That's beautiful. I want to play this Skullcaster, and then you can tell me about that project.
Right on.
And content provider.
Oh, man. Be a slave to no computer. Be a slave to no computer. Be a slave to no computer.
Be a slave to no computer. Be a slave to no computer. Be a slave to no computer. Be a slave. Thank you. We'll be right back.
not for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with Skullcaster and Wunderwaffle, or Wunderwaffle, I don't know. And then Bob Buckle from Dubuque, Iowa, Temple Walls First War, the alternate mix. That's Buddy Sam Lockward, who was next with United. Both are Eastern Iowa guys. And then finally, content provider with Pikachu versus all. Okay. Enlighten us about Skullcaster.
That's kind of just outgrowth of what we were doing in Airwaker, which is just kind of improvised electronics.
You're saying same personnel.
Well, that's my solo version of it, kind of. I mean, I've done one solo release on Dolor del Estomago. This is a Brutal Sound Effects kind of label, CDR label, called Ring Out Your Dead. That was Airwaker, but Airwaker was
I bet you that name
people.
Came from that fucking Monty Python movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's like a W, so it's
Ring
It Out.
Of course, you got to be clever, come on. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
One of the brutal folks actually just called because I made them a CDR called just Skullcast, and I think they just booked me one time solo as Skullcaster, and I just kept it. And
they picked the name, or was the name of the song? Or the CD?
Yeah, I named the whole, like, this whole CDR I gave them, like, Skullcast, I think. And then they just started calling me Skullcaster.
Okay. Tell me about, that happened to me at SST. Those guys, you know, I grew up in Navy housing and shit. We had a lot of names for money, but one of them was Bones. None of those motherfuckers ever heard of calling money Bones. And they thought it was so tripped out, they started calling me that as a nickname.
Uh-huh.
The Husker Du guys, too. It's like, you guys never heard of that? Anyway, tell me your connect. How did you meet the Brutal Sound Effects crew?
I think I was in college radio, and my DJ partner had a band. She had a band called the Holy Revolver Society.
You saying Calx or KUSF or something?
It was like KSFF. It was San Francisco State.
Ah, okay.
So, a lot of those radio stations saved my life, but KSFF was only like kind of a cable thing or something.
Right, running on the campus.
Yeah, I think they got rid of the actual transmitter during the student protests in the city.
That's right. UCLA, huge old school and the shit, only went through the dorms through the outlets.
Right.
Yeah, as a way of controlling the kids, right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
But anyway, like her boyfriend, I think he introduced me to probably it was Jake and Jake's bandmate, is one of his early bandmates, Jeremy, and I think that's how they started telling me about those kind of shows, and I started just going, like, might have been like Commotion Club or. There's so many venues that have come and gone in that time, you know.
Yeah, and also, there was no Carolina Rainbow yet. Was there Rubber Old Cement? There was? Okay.
Oh, yeah. There was, Carolina was going. I first started hearing them from, like I say, speaking of radio stations that saved my life, KXLU down in L.A.
Yeah, great. The Jesuit
They had
station.
A great Psychotechnics show that played all kinds of noisy Japanese noise, Carolina.
I used to always play my first... gig of the album on that show live. I love that station, man. Brother Matt comes from there and stuff. We're at the end of the second hour. I'll let you continue, but I got to pull the plug on this one. July 2, 2021 edition, Watt Peter Show, special guest Chris Cones. Hotep Hour 3! July 2, 2021 is the third hour of the Watt Peter Show. We'll be right back.
the time. Sobriety and I have nothing in common. So Brian and I discuss the forgotten. I need to reply, the bottles are empty. Chock full of supplies, yeah, we've got plenty to use. That they are coming to take you back to the sun. And heaven knows how easy it is to read. And how if I know who created the enemy? Is it me? Or just a mirage of a sneaking crime to blame on the sea? As you scream at the fitting maze, I initially despise this latest fool phrase. Hey, you come skate with me. We'll design a new line and in time we will find we retreat. And as our bearings roll over this great earth, constantly staring, will take toll on our rebirth. But it has to be. This is such a short time and so tied up this week.
Watch for Pedro. She'll start the third hour off with Deanny, I believe, from Three Leafs. I love that name. And then Are You a Cop from their new album, We Are Trees. I thought those numbers went together.
And then, oh, yeah.
And then Subarachnoid Space?
Subarachnoid.
Subarachnoid Space with The Red Veil. Enlighten us, Chris.
Three Leafs. Well, I started playing with the main cat in Three Leafs is in Subarachnoid Space. Diego Gonzalez was actually the second bass player I played with in Subarachnoid, but he's the one I went on the tours with and that we, you know, I knew pretty well, bonded with on the road and all that. And so he asked me to be in to jam with Three Leafs later on after we weren't in Subarachnoid anymore. And it was kind of a super group, I guess. couple guys from
Cream.
Yeah, like two of the guys, one of the guitar players and the drummer, like went around with David Allen and University of Errors, and everybody had like different projects, but pretty much everybody worked at Amoeba too. And
there's the connect.
Yeah,
I mean the one on Sunset Boulevard.
No, the
Hate Street. Up in the city. Okay.
Yep.
By the park.
Yeah, this is the big band.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. Was that at the end of Hate or some shit?
Yeah, right? Like almost to the park there.
Yeah, at the park there. And man, I really liked the sound though. It was just a short project. What?
Yeah, I mean it was. Literally that song and probably everything was pretty improvised. There wasn't a lot of writing going on there, and it was just get together and jam, and that's how it happened. We just pulled it up.
I cut you off last hour before you could get and explain content provider.
Oh right, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's a further like outgrowth of Earwicker that was like it's kind of between Earwicker and LaFlange that had some guys who were more kind of techno oriented, but we still kept our kind of noisy core, and they would process it more and plus a lot more like weird samples and I call them guest vocals, but we'd literally run like a scanner through one line and let random handheld and old cell phone intercepts run like as vocals, guest vocals, as we call them.
I know somebody who used
there's a signals.
I know somebody made songs for lyrics, you know, just from Craigslist ads.
Oh right.
Good so stuff. Your thing's even better though, because you're actually taking the fucking voices and shit.
Yeah.
Hey, surprise! And what about Subarachnoid? Fuck! Why don't I ever get it? Slower. The Red Veil. So I understand it's part of your partner there in Three Leafs, but like this Red Veil, it's interesting. So sometimes cats ask you to help aid and abet like a sideman.
Oh sure. I got into Subarachnoid through jamming with Melinda Jackson. Has Eight Bells now up in Portland.
Yeah.
But it's like we started like with the content provider crew, we made some other we kind of invited her in for a jam and called it some other name. Probably only did a few gigs, but you know, we recorded it and it's still online out there somewhere. But yeah, so like I got to know Melinda through that project, and then like I made her a cassette of some guitar stuff, and she invited me to play in Subarachnoid when the founder Mason Jones, I guess he had a kid and you know didn't want to tour anymore, and she wanted to keep going around and
right.
playing live and all that. So I joined them when they still had Stu Stu Odom on bass, and then he quit, and Diego joined later.
Okay. And, I see the connect now. Okay. You gave me something here called ST37. Girl
yeah,
like
Austin
you,
Cats. Okay. Old school Austin Cats.
Okay, let's listen. Watford Peavy, our show, last music for this edition, Girl Like You, ST37. Then Head Boggle, Greta's theme. He was on it a couple weeks ago. Slang from Hokkaido with Humanistic Disorder. And finally, I found this How I Quit Crack tune. It's a cover. So circle back all the way back to covers. But of Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper. Blue Oyster Cult was huge with me and D. Boone. Only Creedence was bigger with us. I met D. Boone, the only rock band he knew was Creedence. So I showed him, you know, Cream and Who and Blue, but really, and Alice Cooper. But he really liked Blue Oyster Cult, so we got into that. And so, yeah, 14-minute version, Don't Fear the Reaper.
Right. Yeah, it's a stretch. We got really into the, like, the time stretched, you know, stuff, and it's total reworking. Yeah.
You're saying just before we played the Girl Like You, ST37's Austin crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Great bunch of guys. I lived with the bassist when I first moved to Austin, Scott Tillis, and my friend, Dom from Future Blondes hooked us up. And I, you know, just met him at a show in Houston or something. But, yeah, that was their practice space as well, that this house over in East Austin. And
they say something I started, off air of Lisa Cameron?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lisa Cameron's on drums. Right. And it's a long-running, Austin acid punk type of band. I remember finding their tapes.
Is it still going?
Oh, yeah.
So you can go back there and play with these guys. Yeah, okay, betcha. That's a great resource. There's nothing like having music friends that are always there for you, man. I love that. I love that.
And they're a great group.
And, you know, I got to ask you, where can people find you on the internet?
I've got a lot of material online. I don't have a, you know, like a cones.com or anything like that. Okay. I'm Skullcaster at Twitter, and I have, like, practically every recorded thing on a pinned tweet up at the top of that, but, you know.
Okay. Like a lot of Bandcamp?
Bandcamp, SoundCloud, yeah. You know. If MySpace hadn't dumped it, that'd still be up there.
We used to call that my waste of space place.
Right, yeah.
But believe it or not, I fucking got turned on to a lot of trippy music from that fucking place. That was probably the best thing about it. Because, yeah, you know, everybody was putting their music up. It was interesting. And I think, of course, Bandcamp's much better. And people go and check out Chris's stuff, like Skullcaster, right? What? That's the Instant Ham handle? Skullcaster?
Yeah, Skullcaster is usually the handle I go by, on Twitter. And,
oh, no, yeah. Shitter. Yeah, okay, not Instagram. I get my fucking things fucked up. At least I didn't say fake look, right? Okay. And right now, what do you got planned? What do you got going?
Tina and I have a new How I Cook Crack. Just came out a couple months back off Black Porno Cassettes and Houston and L.A., cats. And
you guys had guests?
No. I mean, that's the label that put us out.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just me and her, and it's all recorded during the pandemic. So it's more guitar based. We've done a lot of different kind of instrumentation and style. But this one's just she's been asking me to play like kind of more kind of somber guitar stuff or whatever, and she's singing over it and kind of doing the like voice vocals as instrument kind of thing too,
sure,
like stretching her voice and
Diamanda
kind of more like digital stuff, but yeah.
Oh, like Mr. Tom, a Black Moth Super Rainbow. I think he does everything through a vocoder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He told me that invention turned him into a vocalist. And but you know what? This piece is probably a document of the situation, so kind of interesting. Why not turn a piece of work into it and just feeling sad, so something to come out of it. So maybe it had to be kind of somber, huh, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, there's some hope in there, too. I'm sure. You know, surprisingly, it's not all just, you know, crying or whatever. But, I was out of work for a while and, you know, just tracked as much guitar as I could. And then she messed around with it once I started working again. So
that's bitching. That is bitch. Look, big honor to have you on the show. Anytime you want to come back on, you're welcome, man. But you get new music, come bring it, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, we'll be working on more all the time.
Okay.
Skullcaster and How Could Crack. Thank you a lot for having me on.
No, right back at you, man. It's a big honor. And keep on keeping on, brother. People, it's been July 2, 2021. Just watch Pete Rush. He'll keep your powder dry.